Mary. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrakachari Sotar Satasi Shimad. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anani Kodi Vaishnavindi Jai. Namachar Srila Harish Das Askur Ki Jai. Premsa Gaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramunya Chananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopi Nath Shamakunda Radha Kunda Gidi Govardhana Ki Jai Vrindavan Dhama Ki Jai Navadvipa Dhama Ki Jai Ganga Mayi Ki Jai Yamuna Mayi Ki Jai Talasi Devi Ki Jai Bhakta Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glory to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 9, text number 39. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Pritoham Astu Bhadramte. Lokanam vija yeshchaya yad astau shir gunamayam nirgunam manuvarnayam pritoham astu badramte Lokanam vijayesh chaya yat astau shir gunamayam nirgunam manuvartnayam pritoham astu badram te Lokanam vijayeshchaya yad astau shir gunamayam nirgunam manuvarnayan. Someone can chant.
Astu Badrante Lokanang Vijayachaya Yadastau Shir Gunamayang Nirgunang Manuvarnayan
Matijit. Word for word. Pritaha, pleased. Aham, myself. Astu, let it be so. Bhadram, all benediction. Te, unto you. Lokanam, of the planets. Vijaya, for glorification. Ishaya, by your desire. Yat, that which. Astau sihi, you prayed for. Gunamayam, describing all transcendental qualities. Nirgunam, although I am free from all material qualities. Me. Anuvarnayam. Nicely describing. Translation. I am very much pleased by your description of me in terms of my transcendental qualities, which appear mundane to the mundaners. I grant you all benedictions in your desire to glorify all the planets by your activities. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada. A pure devotee of the Lord like Brahma and those in his line of the succession always desire that the Lord be known all over the universe by each and every one of the living entities. That desire of the devotee is always blessed by the Lord. The impersonalist sometimes prays for the mercy of the personality of Godhead Narayana as the embodiment of material goodness. But such prayers do not satisfy the Lord because he is not merely glorified in terms but such prayers do not satisfy the Lord because he is not thereby glorified in terms of his actual transcendental qualities. The pure devotees of the Lord are always more dear to him, although he is always kind and merciful to all living entities. Here the word gunamayam is significant because it indicates the Lord's possessing transcendental qualities. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharne Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Praschatya Deshatarne. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions about preaching the glories of the Lord. So in the universal form of Lord Vishnu, the Brahmanas come from his head or his mouth. The Kshatriyas come from his arms. The Vaishyas come from his belly. And the Sudras come from his legs. So the business of the Brahmanas is to accept charity, to worship Lord Vishnu, and to spread this Vedic knowledge all around the world. Also, sometimes it's stated that the mouth of the Brahmanas is to eat. They are given food during sacrifice to eat. They take prasadam, and they also preach Krishna consciousness.
So in this way, this International Society for Krishna Consciousness has been established to give Vedic knowledge. Otherwise, without this Vedic knowledge, society is simply like a dead body. Just like if you have a body, but if the head is cut off, then it's useless. So without this Vedic knowledge, without this Krishna consciousness, this body is simply dead, simply dead. So the devotees are known as Paraduka Duki. They are not in any type of unhappiness, but they are distressed to see the unhappiness of others. So the devotees of the Lord, they do not see the external features of the living entities, but they see them as spirit soul. And they understand the desire of Krishna. They understand that Krishna's desire is to deliver the fallen conditioned souls. So they carry that desire, they carry that message of the Supreme, and they deliver all the living entities, regardless of their situation. So by giving the holy name, by giving Bhishadam, everyone, even the general mass of people, can be delivered. Just like Srila Prabhupada gives the example of Shivananda Sen, who had a dog. And simply by giving Bhishadam, the dog became liberated. So simply by giving Bhishadam to the people in general, they can become Krishna conscious. So whatever means, by giving them, by coming here to the temple, by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam class, the Bhagavad Gita class, by getting a book about Krishna consciousness, by getting Bhishadam, by hearing the holy name, they can become purified. And by that purification, they could go back to home, back to Godhead. So the devotees are described as they're compassionate to the poor. Poor means not those who are simply poor in material wealth. That isn't actually the definition of poor. Poor means that one is bereft of transcendental knowledge. He is known as somebody who is actually poor. So somebody could be the richest person, but actually, if they have no Krishna consciousness, then they are simply poor men, very poor. But if one is situated in Krishna consciousness, just like so many acharyas in our line, like Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they appeared to be apparently very poverty-stricken. They would simply live underneath a tree every night, different tree every night. But they produced the greatest Vedic literature, the greatest knowledge, and therefore they are known as the richest personalities. So in this way, we, the devotees, try to give this knowledge to those who are actually poor in transcendental knowledge. So early in the Bhagavatam, it is explained that Lord Brahma, he was engaging in expanding the population of the universe, and Srila Prabhupada mentions in that connection that the devotees want to expand the number of devotees. So in this way, Krishna consciousness, we could either preach Krishna consciousness to other people and make them Krishna conscious, or we could have children that become devotees. And by raising them properly, we could increase the number of devotees in this world. So this may seem to be like mundane, but if something's engaged in the service of the Lord, then that's an expansion of the causeless mercy of the Lord towards the devotees. So in this way, we should see everything in connection with the Lord as transcendental. So in Krishna consciousness, when we preach Krishna consciousness, success or failure is not our concern. Srila Prabhupada explains that in Krishna consciousness, It's like declaring war against the materialistic life. And we're simply a soldier in the fight. So we just have to fight and carry it out, the instruction of our spiritual master. And this way we will be properly situated. So there may be various difficulties in spiritual life. Srila Prabhupada mentions in this connection about Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who Jadgai and Madai caused him suffering, and Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified. But devotees of the Lord, they do not care for any so-called suffering, because by their preaching, they give Krishna pleasure. And by giving Krishna pleasure, they enjoy transcendental bliss. So it doesn't matter to them the so-called happiness and distress. Simply by preaching Krishna consciousness, they are in transcendental happiness. And so we have to understand that Krishna consciousness is, preaching Krishna consciousness is a duty of everyone. Srila Prabhupada mentioned that the duty of, it was in a garden conversation, he mentioned that one who is Krishna consciousness, one who is Krishna conscious, it is his duty to spread it. He said, when I came here to America, I didn't come here because they wanted Krishna consciousness. He said, I came here because it was my duty. My spiritual master ordered me to come here. So one shouldn't be concerned whether it's needed or not needed. That shouldn't be our concern. Simply, we have to give this knowledge out and in this way spread Krishna consciousness. It's explained just like a cloud. A cloud pours water everywhere. It pours on the mountain or in the sea. Oh, so many places where it's not needed, but it simply gives us mercy everywhere. So by spreading Krishna consciousness, by preaching Krishna consciousness, those who preach it, Krishna is very much satisfied. It is stated that those who preach Krishna consciousness in the Brahma Samudaya, Krishna is very satisfied with them, and he shakes their hand in great satisfaction. So in order to preach Krishna consciousness, one has to hear properly. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of his own self. He said, because I was very much interested to hear, therefore I am very good in preaching. He elaborated once he was hearing a spiritual master speak, and then it was brought up that their devotees were going on pilgrimage, and they could either go on pilgrimage or hear Srila Bhakti Sananta. And Prabhupada was thinking, I just want to hear from my spiritual master. So in this way, even his spiritual master could see that Srila Prabhupada was very interested to hear about Krishna consciousness. So this is very important. By hearing, one could change his whole life. Prabhupada says, simply by one word from a saintly person, one's whole life could be changed. Srila Prabhupada mentioned his first meeting with Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur. He told him to preach in the Western countries. And simply by that moment's association with the great soul, his whole life was changed. So in the same way, if we hear properly, then we could preach properly. And Prabhupada's position is, he gave us these Bhaktivedanta purports. Srila Prabhupada, generally devotees of the Lord, they're very humble, and they don't so much say that they're like great devotees or anything like that. But in various occasions in Srila Prabhupada's books, in different circumstances, he would explain that he's a great devotee of Krishna. He explains that in the nectar of instruction that one who is Krishna conscious, he doesn't limit Krishna consciousness to being preached to only a specific section of people or a certain section of devotees or a certain tract of land. But those who do, they are generally prone to accept the external features of a devotee. Such persons, they cannot appreciate the activities of an advanced soul. He said they tried to bring the Mahabhagavata down to their own platform. And they cannot appreciate the activities of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. And then Srila Prabhupada goes on to explain. He says, unfortunately, we are surrounded by neophyte god brothers who cannot appreciate the activities of the Krishna consciousness movement. And he also explains later in another part in the Nectar of Instruction that Mahabhagavata, he equates that to one who is an Uttama Adhikari. So in this way, Prabhupada explains himself as an Uttama Adhikari. And he also explains in the Bhagavatam that whenever a devotee speaks or writes, his words are being dictated by the Supersoul within his heart. So in this way, if we understand that these Bhaktivedanta purports are being directly spoken by Krishna, of course, also there's the words of the Acharyas, so the spiritual master also repeats the words of the Acharyas. Sometimes we find, or many times we find in the Bhaktivedanta purports, Srila Prabhupada quotes from his spiritual master or from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. But beyond that, also that Krishna speaks to the devotee within his heart. So in this purport, it's mentioned that Krishna is very dear to everyone, but he's specifically very dear to the devotees. And Krishna mentions this in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. He mentions various qualities that the devotees have. And he mentions that those who have these various qualities, they are very dear to me. So one of those qualities is one who avoids contaminating association. So association is very important in Krishna consciousness. Without proper association, one cannot advance in Krishna consciousness. One's devotional service is not complete or relishable. So this is very important. Prabhupada said, therefore, we have established this International Society for Krishna Consciousness in order to give association to people. One must understand that without the association of devotees, one cannot advance in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada goes on to say that those who think that they can make advancement in Krishna consciousness outside the society of devotees, they are living in a great hallucination. One has to hear the words from Krishna, and one has to do this in the association of devotees, and this way they will have an impact on one's heart, and one will properly hear these messages. And by this association, one will never be attached to this material body or the things related to the body, like the offspring, the wife, the wealth, home, like that. So another thing is one of those qualities that Krishna says that those who have this are very dear to him is that they're equal in both happiness and distress. So a devotee, he's not concerned about this happiness and distress because they're simply temporary. He's not so concerned about this. He says, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that the great souls, they see that the material happiness has a pleasure and an end, and therefore they do not take delight in it. So, and since the devotees are merged in transcendental happiness, they are not even aware of the distress of this material world. So, these so-called pleasures in this material world, this is also explained in the Bhagavatam, that for the sake of very little pleasure in this material world, one has to experience extreme miseries. So that's the situation of this material world. We may think, oh, I could be happy in this way and happy in that way, but for that little bit of happiness, one has to suffer so much more. So in this way, one who's intelligent will see that this is not actually intelligent to understand. And even and the suffering, in the little bit of suffering or enjoyment we have in this material world, and the suffering that goes along with it, because of Maya's potencies, Maya has two specific potencies. She pulls us down, and she covers over our intelligence. So therefore, the living entity, for example, Srila Prabhupada gives the example of a pig. A pig is covered over. He's pulled down, covered over. And even though he's in a dirty, filthy place, in a very obnoxious place, eating obnoxious foodstuffs, he doesn't understand that he's actually suffering. So in this way, he's in illusion. He's not really happy. He's suffering like anything. So we have to be satisfied in our condition. Whatever material comforts we have to be satisfied with this. In this way, we could save time in executing Krishna consciousness. As stated in the Trish Upanishad, one should accept his quotes, that his quota, which has been set aside for him, and not to take other things, knowing well to whom they belong. So whatever position one is in, one should simply accept that. Everybody has their material comfortable position, so one just has to accept that without over-endeavoring for mundane things. In this way, one could save time and execute Krishna consciousness. So in this material world, people are struggling for sense gratification. And this sense gratification is to dominate over material nature. This is this competition is there in the material world amongst unconditioned souls. And specifically, this is found among the modern scientists who try to dominate the laws of material nature. In this way, they try to so-called increase the happiness in this material world. But this is simply foolishness. They cannot dominate material nature. No matter how hard they try, they cannot counteract the real problems, which are birth, death, old age, and disease. So this domination, this sense gratification is so foolish. They're endeavoring after something which they never could obtain. They're searching for something that they never could obtain. But a devotee understands the real position. Just like in the words of Dhruva Maharaj, he said, "I was searching for broken pieces of glass, but I found the most valuable jewel, you." So in this way, the devotees, they endeavor to search after Krishna. In this way, they are happy. So, Krishna consciousness is so nice. It says the transcendental bliss that is achieved by meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord or hearing his glories from the pure devotees is so unlimited that it is beyond the stage of Brahmananda. So this stage of Brahmananda, this happiness goes beyond the stage of Brahmananda. So what to speak of that happiness, that temporary happiness was achieved by achieving the heavenly planets, which is what which one has to give up by the separating sword of time. So Krishna is like a desire tree. Whatever anyone wants, one can obtain from him. But generally people, they do not know what to ask from Krishna. They simply ask for some nonsense, some temporary thing. Just like Prabhupada gave the example of the lady. She was carrying, I think she was one old lady, carrying a bundle of sticks. And she dropped the bundle of sticks, and she was crying. She couldn't get this bundle of sticks back up on her head, and she was crying out, "Oh God, God, please help me, help me!" And then God appeared, and he said, "What do you want?" And she said, "Please put the bundle of sticks back on my head." So, this is her foolishness. She couldn't ask for anything. She couldn't ask Krishna for pure devotional service and be relieved from all these all sufferings, but no, she simply asked for to put the burden back on my head. Or Srila Bhaktisiddhanta gives the example of somebody, the king offers one of the citizens whatever he wants, and he says, "Oh my dear king, please give me a handful of ashes." So he's so foolish, he can ask for half the kingdom. The king was willing to give half the kingdom, but he simply asked for a handful of ashes. So if we want to be satisfied, always satisfied, we have to perfectly know three things. That Krishna is a supreme enjoyer. He's a supreme friend of all living entities. And is a supreme proprietor of everything in the universe. And by knowing or by relating to other living entities in various ways, we will never suffer the threefold miseries. So by these three things, we will not suffer the threefold miseries in the material world, or sufferings from our own body and mind, sufferings from other living entities, and sufferings from other natural disturbances. So those three ways we avoid those things is how we approach different people. So if we meet somebody that is more advanced than us, we should be very pleased, be very jolly. We should receive them. Not that, I become envious of such a person. He's more advanced than me. And those who are on an equal level with us, we should make friends with them. Not that we think, start advertising to them, I'm so good at this, become proud of our activities like that. And those who are less advanced than us, we should try to help them, try to bring them up, not that we deride them. So Srila Prabhupada mentioned this connection, therefore we should preach Krishna consciousness to others to bring them up, not that we should simply criticize the materialists. Although criticism is there, we should understand that they're rascals, they're hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. But at the same time, we should understand that we should be compassionate to them and try to raise them up to help them become Krishna conscious. So, suffering is there, and the devotees see all suffering or reverses in life as gifts from the Supreme Lord. They are simply His mercy towards us, and we simply, by receiving those gifts, those reverses, we offer our respectful obeisances to the Supreme Lord and offer our mind, our body, and our intellect to Him. We should know that He is very merciful. He is simply minimizing our suffering. Actually, instead of getting a little cut on our finger, we should have lost our arm. But He's minimizing that by giving us just simply a little token punishment. So, by loving Krishna, we will get complete satisfaction. By unflinching love for Krishna, we will get complete satisfaction. Otherwise, as Srila Prabhupada states, otherwise, without that, there will be no happiness in the material world or any place else. There will be no satisfaction. We have to develop unflinching love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, by serving Krishna, by giving pleasure to Krishna, we will get that same facility, or we get that same amount of pleasure by giving pleasure to Him. So we may think that, oh, there's, if I give something to Krishna, we will be at the greatest loss. No, by giving to Krishna, we will get the same amount of pleasure, the same facility. So that's our real purpose, is to give pleasure to Krishna. That's what we are meant for. But now we're in a crazy condition of life, therefore we are simply thinking in the opposite way. So in the material world, it's described that in the material world and in the spiritual world, there's pleasure and there's pain. But in the spiritual world, the pleasure, even the pain in the spiritual world, both the pleasure and pain are absolute. So even the pain in the spiritual world, there's transcendental happiness in that. Just like Prabhupada gives an example of the gopis, Krishna causes distress to the gopis, but in that distress, they feel transcendental happiness. So this is possible because everything in the spiritual world is pure. Therefore, even the so-called pain, there is transcendental happiness. Whereas the material world, which is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world, everything in this material world is contaminated by the three modes of material nature, and therefore there is happiness and there is pain, like that. So in this way, we have to nicely execute the process of Krishna consciousness, and in this way we can go back to the spiritual world where life is eternal, full of knowledge, and full of bliss. So I just want to mention, we're going to end the class now, but if anybody wants to mention, speak to me after this, because I got all these things I have here are referenced from Prabhupada's books. I like to reference everything that I say, every little detail. Like that, so you can see me after that if you're interested. So we can stop there. So we're in there. Thank you very much. All glories to Shishi, Guru, and Gauranga. Glory to Srila Prabhupada.